So when we're talking about the boundaries and the walls, if someone's in relationship with someone, how do they know it's a wall, which is kind of a reaction mm-hmm. to something where it's still got some anger? And how do we know it's like an embodied, confident boundary?
I would say a confident boundary would be healthy, not necessarily retaliatory, but protective. Mm-hmm. A healthy boundary would be clear. Mm-hmm. It would be seasoned with history, you know, mm-hmm. so it's not like you're just making this up. It is unique and based on the person. When we have a general boundary for all things, I would wonder if it's a wall. I never let people come by my house unannounced. I never share anything with anyone that I'm going through. When we get into that absolute thinking about things, I would wonder if it is us trying to be overly protective mm-hmm. of ourselves. When we get to the space of loneliness, we have to consider what our walls of protection look like. So there are certainly indicators that we're not building healthy boundaries, because if we were building healthy boundaries, we would still be able to be in relationships. And maybe not in this relationship, mm-hmm. but in relationships, period. But with walls, you will notice that you're having these common dysfunction in all of your relationships because you have these very tall boundaries up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's huge. I'm going to ask something that's very personal to me, but I think people might relate regarding parents and relationships with parents. And this kind of has to do with boundaries and walls. I sometimes wonder in the relationship with my family if I'm healed because I'm non-reactive and I don't feel triggered very often, or if I'm disassociating and I'm just kind of a body that's present around them or kind of just being with them. Is there, like, how can people tell if they've healed where they're non-reactive and they can be in relationship with someone and they don't find themselves triggered? And how can we tell if they're just disassociating, kind of going with the flow, being super passive?
I would say healed, you still notice how you feel, but you're not reacting, mm-hmm. right? Disassociation would be you're not even present in what's happening. Like, you don't even care about what's happening. I think we can feel and not respond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's like I struggle because I, from a young age, started, I don't know if it was a wall or boundary, but over time, I'm like, am I being myself here? I don't feel like I'm myself, but I also feel very comfortable, which was something that I realized too when I was with my family. I'm like, oh, I'm actually very comfortable not engaging, not speaking, not being heard. But it doesn't feel good anymore. Like, it no longer feels good, but it feels comfortable, if that makes sense. And I was thinking about how in childhood we create these situations at home where it might not be healthy, but it feels comfortable. So do you see sometimes where people will be in relationship dynamics where it's not necessarily healthy, but it feels comfortable for them?
Absolutely. Isn't that why we stay in unhealthy family relationships? Because I hear people going through chaos with their families, but the discomfort of leaving or changing that relationship or speaking up or demanding anything differently certainly causes a level of discomfort that they're not ready to deal with. So they'll continue to do the thing that they've always sort of done.
Mm-hmm. In family dynamics, if someone was to try and speak with the family about something that happened, try and have a conversation, how could they create the best environment or situation or opportunity for that? Because I'm sure it's not like, you know, after their sports team loses the big game, right before bed, after drinks, you know, what would be the most opportune environment and situation to speak to your family?
When you feel the desire to speak. I know that's not what we're looking for, but we are always seeking, like, what's the best time to talk? Is it before bed? Is it after your second meal of the day? Is it when your feet are warm? You know, it's like you're trying to control too many factors. You feel the need to say it, call the person. Mm-hmm. You know, if you need to call them on the phone and say it, if you need to say it in person, if you're in the middle of a workout and it pops into your head, I want you to say it. Because the appropriate environment, the temperature may not be right. It might not be midweek. It might not, all of these things may not align. And I don't want you to sit with that on your spirit because you're trying to wait for the world to get perfect to have this conversation. Because that might not happen. So I think the best time to have the conversation is when you're thinking about having it. Certainly not in front of a room full of people. Certainly, you know, if someone just had some life tragedy, not at that very moment, there are certainly bad times to have a conversation. But, you know, good times, it's when you are ready to talk about it and you're ready because you are thinking about it. You don't have to have the perfect speech. I know some of us, we feel like it's a wedding proposal. Let me go over everything. Do I have everything?
100%.
Okay, so on June 22nd, that's when I'm going to start. June 22nd. Yes. You know, we go through this whole thing. And it doesn't come out that way. I found that all of the stuff that I rehearse and practice, it doesn't come out that way. So it's okay to be a little rough around the edges, to jump over your words a little bit, to stutter, to, you know, be nervous. Just say it because you're really thinking about it. Now, I mentioned earlier that I won't go to people who have harmed me for validation, but I will tell you how I feel. I'm not looking for the validation. I just want you to know. And I'll say that. I don't even want you to respond to this. I just want you to know where I am. Because I don't want it to be a situation where you're confused. I don't know why this person won't invite me. Well, you know exactly why. Because I told you. Yes. Do you want me to pull up the text? Yes. I have it.
Yes. Everybody, we see this?
Does everyone see this? Do we need to get on a five-way call again? Yes. You know, it's like, so sometimes we have to check what we're expecting from this other person. A person who has a low level of self-awareness may not give you what you need in terms of, oh, I did that to you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, this isn't acting. They're going to be like, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. What are you talking about? You know, so when people haven't done their work, they're not going to do your work for you. They can only respond based on their level of emotional maturity, of self-awareness, of understanding of their own trauma, of understanding of how they impact people. That's how they're responding. So even when people have the response of maybe gaslighting or shutting you down or giving you the silent treatment, that's all that that person can do. I remember the first time someone gave me the silent treatment. It was for an entire year, a relative.
Wow. I didn't expect that.
It was for, they did something very embarrassing and they refused to accept responsibility for it. So they called me the next day like, hey, and I was like, hey, you did this thing. And they were like, I didn't do that. It was your fault. You invited me to the thing. But I'm like, you got really drunk. You did this thing. And, you know, like I'm trying to tell you what happened here. And I didn't hear from them after that. When I heard from them again, they said, remember, you were trying to say that. I still stand by that.
I'm obsessed. A year later, it's like, yes.
I'm not obsessed, but I'm not going to take blame for
no,
it.
No, I'm obsessed with that answer. Just being like, yes.
Yes.
Still.
They don't bring it up anymore. This was like many moons ago. They don't bring it up anymore because I'm not going to agree with it. There was a time in my life, particularly when I was a kid, when people would do things and I would be like, oh, okay, yeah, no, I don't remember that anymore. But now I'm like, I'm such an adult. I remember it just like this. I'm not going to change my memory of what happened for your validation.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Morning Microdose by Almost 30. We hope you enjoyed waking up. As always, we encourage you to take what resonates and leave the rest. If you enjoyed this trip, tune into the full episode on the Almost 30 podcast. All episode information can be found in the show notes.
Make sure to subscribe, and if this becomes a part of your morning routine, be sure to share it with a friend. We have new inspiring doses Monday through Friday. Follow us on Instagram at Morning Microdose and follow Almost 30 at Almost 30 Podcast.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you in the vortex.